Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Free Odyssey app.
Today, Mark Cuban said there are no strong or intelligent women around President Trump.
Donald Trump, you never see him around strong, intelligent women, ever.
Well, the women at Trump campaign headquarters here have a few words for Mr. Cuban and Kamala Harris.
Mark Cuban thinks that women who support President Trump are weak and dumb. I'm here to tell you that I'm a working mom. I work for President Trump, and I have already voted for him.
The world has found out that Kamala's campaign is not all about women empowerment, like she says. Do I look weak to you?
Kamala Harris sent Mark Cuban out to mansplain to half the country. Sorry, Kamala, I'm proudly supporting President Trump.
Hey, Mark, you remember me? Last week you asked me if I wanted to take a picture with you. Not only are you arrogant, but you're misogynistic, too.
Mark, I have one question for you. Can you define what a woman is?
Mark Cuban doesn't know a thing about strong women. I could beat you in a fight.
Biden thinks I'm garbage, and Mark Cuban thinks I'm weak and dumb. Well, guess what? I'm proudly supporting President Trump.
Mark Cuban thinks he gets to decide who's strong.
A woman.
Hey! Yeah, feeling like a woman. This is like a happy hour for us. Hey, Dawn Stensland here. I guess I'm just a weak woman. Thank you, Mark Cuban. What a gift he gave us so that we have an excuse and a reminder of all the strong, smart, fabulous women who stand with Donald J. Trump. Present, I'm one of them, and my guest, who needs no introduction, my friend Kathy Barnett, also Alina Haba. She'll be here at 11. Kathy, he gave us a gift, so I can't complain too much. This is from a party that cannot even define a woman, and they define a woman. You know, what do you think about what Mark Cuban said, and the does it really have an impact as the Vice President Harris now splaining Biden with his garbage, you know, first in the beginning of the week, the garbage statement, and now this.
Mark Cuban, I mean, you're so right. I was laughing on your intro because he's not a biologist. Is he even allowed to define what a woman is? I don't think on their side of the aisle, if you're not credentialed, that you're even allowed to even, you know, determine who's a woman, who's not. But Mark Cuban, he's irrelevant, and you know, and unfortunately, he really wants to be inside the quote unquote cool kids club. He is peddling his wares everywhere he goes. He's just going from one show to another, and he's just spouting off, you know, what he believes the other side wants to hear. And because there is very little fact checking that's done on the other side, they allow him to say these things. He gets a pat on the head and people applaud, and he feels good about himself, right? But we know it's false. I saw him the other day talking about when Donald Trump left office, inflation was the highest it has ever been. That's a blatant lie. Mm-hmm. When Donald Trump handed over the economy to Joe Biden in 2020, in 2021, mm-hmm. It was the inflation was at 1 point. I think it either was 1.6 or 1.8%. But again, he's irrelevant. Who cares? I'm more concerned with these numbers that are coming out of early voting.
And concern about the numbers. We were talking earlier this morning, Kathy, on Kale and Company about the, I think it was an NBC analysis, but I think everybody was picking up on the same thing, that the issue of women voters, is that what you're concerned about, or what?
Well, I mean, issues with women voters only because, you know, there are a number of white progressive women who are just hell-bent on aborting their children. And so to that extent, with that narrative, yes, I feel, you know, a little bit concerned. But I'm just looking at just kind of the early voting. Now, what's encouraging is that when you look at the early voting, the number of Republicans who are early voting this year in 2024 versus 2020 is up 8%. That's a good thing. The number of Democrats this year versus 2020 is down 7%. My concern comes in when I look at that, we're up 8%. How many of those 8% are low propensity voters versus people who are already going to vote next week. But because one of the strategies coming out of the Republican Party is vote early, and they're sending people like me a text encouraging me to vote early, although I'm a sure vote, mm-hmm. That is my concern. And when I look at the breakdown by counties, I'm looking at the number of, you know, our strategy should have been chasing down these mail-in ballots, but I'm looking at the final numbers that are coming in, and there are a lot of Republicans who did not return their mail-in ballots. So will we see those people next week? I don't know.
Well, part of it is, and I know that the lawsuit that was filed, and this was filed in Bucks County, so that because they rightfully filed the lawsuit in Bucks because it was viral, we were talking about it all week, that people, you know, were standing in line for hours in Bucks, could not vote, even though they were in line before 5. And thank you to the judge who rightfully said, okay, you're going to have until Friday 5 p.m. I would submit to everybody that I wish they had filed that and made it so for Delaware County and Montgomery County, because there were issues in both of those counties. But I just think it means, Kathy, that a lot of people, even if they got the mail in, they either stood in line or saw the lines, and now they said, nah, you know what, I'm just going to vote on November 5th. At least that's what we hope, right?
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, and we can hope, and I am certainly praying, fasting, hoping that, you know, that we must win. And this is such a consequential election. I wish we could go off of something a little bit stronger than a hope right now, mm-hmm. because we've had since 2020 to correct some of the very things we're watching play out once again. I ran mm-hmm. in 2020. That was my first time ever running for office. I lived through 2020. I know exactly what they did. I've never wavered that it was theft. Democrats stole the election. Now, they didn't steal the election with just one thing. I call it a theft by a thousand cuts. It was everything. These people right. are so diabolical. They had every base covered, one of them being what they did in 2020. They just had these malign-looking people standing outside with a little lanyard on talking about, I'm here to help you. Mm-hmm. And because I'm Black, I guess they assumed I was a Democrat, so they came over just very eager to help me back in 2020. Guess what? They have these exact same people out there today. So it's not as if we don't know what Democrats are doing. I'm just, you know, I mean, we're locked into the strategy. It's too late to do anything different. I am just very hopeful. I wish we could go off of something a little bit more hopeful, meaning that Republicans would have learned our lessons from 2020 on and would have put a lot of things in place.
But part of it, I think, Kathy, is a couple. Well, first of all, I think that the lawyers, the GOP, you know, RNC lawyers like Linda Kearns, she I talked to her yesterday, but she's, you know, we interview her all the time just to get the updates. But they've filed more than 100 lawsuits, and including the one in Bucks County that was a win. But they have had some significant wins, and they're also keeping these individuals on their toes. You don't think that has had an impact?
Well, hopefully, right? Well, we will see. I mean, you and I are watching the long lines. Yeah. We're watching people being intimidated. We're watching people being told to leave, to go to another location, and people are scurrying yeah. around trying to figure out where to do it. So, okay, great. But I'm just saying, this is yeah. what we're watching. And Donald Trump must win. I believe all of our chips are, you know, we're locked into this strategy now. Coming from the Republican higher ups, and I'm just hopeful at this point, which, you know, there's very little else we can do.
I also think, and the reason, you know, I have to say I cringe when anybody says 2020 was stolen. The reason I cringe is that I worry, and you and I know people, Kathy, I worry about this, that people say, you know what, my vote doesn't count. They're going to, quote unquote, steal this again. So what I often will say is last time around. I do think Republicans, even at the state level, agreeing to loosening the rules, I think they've tightened those up as far as mail-in balloting. And as well, you have a lot of these RNC lawyers. I would prefer to say Republicans, and we all got played. And I think this time, I will say the RNC lawyers at least have been smarter about it and filing these and watching it. But you know what else, Kathy? I think everybody is so passionate about it. What I saw was we the people, grassroots. That is what provoked these lawsuits and created tangible evidence. And so if everybody, even on Tuesday, go to the polls, I keep saying, make sure your phone is charged. And if anything, whatever's going on, record it. Make sure that you're rolling, you're recording, walking in there. If somebody's intimidating you, put it out on X, on all social media, and call it out immediately so that it can be investigated. Because I think people are sick of getting played.
I absolutely agree from the perspective of the grassroots. I think the grassroots has had it. Yeah. And I think we're going to see a different group of Republican voters show up on next Tuesday, whereas in 2020, I remember very clearly people being told to leave even during the counting of the ballots, and people just walked out and just, you know, didn't stand their ground in their position with their authority to actually view the counting of the ballots. This is what I mean by theft by a thousand cuts.
Yes.
It was just a number of little things that just kind of culminated in something really shady going on in 2020. Yep. And I believe this time around, next Tuesday and the days following that, we're going to see a different group of people on the ground. And but it's locked in. I am excited. I will be one of those people who will be voting on the day of. I am voting strictly Republican all the way down the ballot, because I believe what the Democrats are offering is just untenable. Who in their right mind would vote for open borders? Who in their right mind would vote for these, you know, I've been doing a lot of reporting on this Venezuela gang, the TDA, that's coming in and taking over whole apartment complexes, raping and murdering people. I mean, who in their right mind would vote for that?
Kathy, there was just a 5-year-old little girl raped in New York. Yeah. And sure enough, it's the same story. An illegal person who they had arrested was in custody at one point, and they let him out. And it's just a 5-year-old little girl. And these stories are headlining. I'm looking at USA Today that you have these scooter robberies. You have Venezuelan gangs. You have so these stories are front and center for people. How much of an impact do you feel that is going to have?
Well, I mean, again, I think for those who are aware, it's going to have a great impact. So people like you and I, we're going to be there. These things are in the forefront of our mind, the transitioning of our children, the indoctrination of our children. These things are in the forefront of our mind. However, you really do have, and it is true, we have a segment of the population that, I mean, I don't know if you saw the latest Kamala Harris commercial where the wives are being encouraged to be conniving towards their husband. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, again, it's conniving, it's evil. It's like, who would intentionally harm their own family? And yet, this is one of their campaign strategies.
I think it's stupid.
To encourage women to be conniving.
But do you think, as far as women who are, you know, the white woke suburban woman, right? I don't see these women being silent or feeling like they have to be. I see the opposite. Usually the husband's like, I don't want to talk about politics with my wife or my girlfriend. But I don't even think it rings true. Do you think it rings true?
Which part? That they're conniving?
Yeah. No, I mean, in the commercial, it's saying, it's like, don't ask, don't tell.
You know what?
Vote.
I mean, like, they're just creating a narrative, right? They're creating a narrative that people like you and that you and I are garbage, that we're deplorable. Yeah. That if Donald Trump is Hitler, as Harris, as Harris has accused him of being, what does that make you and I? Mm-hmm. When Hitler I mean, Hitler was a Nazi. So what did that make his supporters? And yes. So, you know, so they are creating narratives about who we are, that you and I are weak and mm-hmm. stupid women. And then, and likewise, they are creating another narrative that, that for these woke white suburban women, that their husbands are Fred Flintstone and that he's mm-hmm. dragging them by their yeah. hair. And they're forcing them to vote a particular kind of way. That's not true. But unfortunately, I believe there are some women who believe this stuff. And mm-hmm. I would just encourage, if you have a white, suburban, woke, progressive woman in your family, in your life, pick up the phone, mm-hmm. bring some coffee, sit down, and have the uncomfortable conversation. Do it with a smile on your face, but get in their face, as one of the black Democrat congresswomen said, get in their face, make mm-hmm. them listen to you as a family member. Sit down, have that conversation with them.
I want to ask you about something, because Greg Stocker, my boss and, you know, Kale and Company co-host, teases me that I keep bringing up some different voters, such as the Amish community. So we know that the Amish community makes up in the Commonwealth, I believe we have the largest Amish community in the nation, 92,000. Friends keep telling me that the Amish are activated, that the I know that Don Jr., when he was here, he was, you know, they've been stumping in Amish country. So do you think that the Amish vote could tip the balance here?
It did with Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Now, for the past maybe 8 years, my family and I, we drive out to this Amish family home, and we have been purchasing our meat from them mm-hmm. for like the past 7 or 8 years. And I have a great relationship with those within the Amish community. When I was running in the 2022 race, I went to the Amish community. They brought me in this room. It was standing room only Amish people. And they introduced me as, "She has our values." These people are very, mm-hmm. contrary to what you may think, these people are very intelligent. Mm-hmm. They are on top of what the issues are, and they recognize that there is a very real threat if someone like a Hillary Clinton or someone like a Kamala Harris should take office. There's a real threat to their way of life, and to protect their way of life, they did come out in 2016 and voted against Hillary Clinton for Donald Trump. And I believe when I talk to these people today, they're talking about the issue. They're more up to speed on the issue than most people I run into and talk to on a daily basis. They understand what the issues are, and they're very aware of the threat.
And some of the billboards, even there's one right now that it's a big blue billboard, and it just says, "Pray for God's mercy for our nation." It has yeah. the kind of straw hat that they wear with a vote like banner on it, call for, you know, telling them to please, you know, apply, make sure they're registered. And so I just wonder how much, you know, I had reported, for example, on Amos Miller, the farmer who was raided by the feds, and then as soon as that case ended, raided by the state. I mean, with these SWAT-looking, you know, they looked like they were SWAT team, you know, armed to the gill, had raided the farm, shut down Amos's farm. And I felt like, man, this community, they oh, yeah. must have felt invaded by the government, state government, oh, yeah. federal, right? I mean,
And let me tell you, I have never seen sweeter people. I mean, my children have worked on their farms with them. They have done little homeschool outings for us. We've had dinner with them in their home when we drive up. They put my children on their little wagons and they go up and down the road. I mean, just a beautiful group of people who have a very definitive worldview about themselves and their place in the world. And let me tell you, we have the largest Amish community here in Pennsylvania, they are very aware and they will be voting. I know that as a fact. And so don't count them out, Greg. They are listening and they are paying attention. And I earnestly believe that they are going to be voting. They did in 2016. I will never forget that. I was a part of that community at that time. So I remember the conversations they were having.
And then what about the Christian vote? Because we've seen a Christian vote, senior citizen vote. So for Christians, I keep seeing all these studies and also Second Amendment people, 30% of gun owners just don't vote. Christians, and I'm talking about specifically born again Christians who say, I guess maybe they've lost faith in the system. I'm not really sure. But do you think that we will see higher numbers among those groups?
I am hopeful. Again, I am hopeful. Listen, to go door to door and to do an earnest grassroots effort. I mean, I spent 1,500 miles every single week when I ran for U.S. Senate. That is a grind. It is not sexy. It is not, you know, no one knows your name. You're not all over television and you don't really fundraise a whole lot off of it. So I understand why Republican consultants would not, you know, be really into it, but we have to get in front of these people. Again, it's too late for the early voting, but each and every one of us, you look around you. I would tell people all the time, make a cup of coffee, go across the street, talk to your neighbor. We have to talk to our neighbor. This concept of a silent majority is ridiculous. Yep. And I believe it is a counter strategy from the left to make us think we have to just be silent and grin all day. No, make a cup of coffee, go across the street to your neighbor, talk to five neighbors between now and next Tuesday, and make sure people, if they have any questions, if they have any concern, especially these Christians, especially the ones who want to clutch their pearls, because only they are perfect and no one else is, and they can't abide by voting for an imperfect person. We're all imperfect. There was only one perfect person. Mm-hmm. And we're not electing Donald Trump to be Jesus or to be our Christian pastor or our Pope or our bishop. We're not asking him to do any of that. What we're asking him to do are very unique things. That is to uphold the U.S. Constitution. That is to defend us domestically by securing our border. And that is to exude strength around the world. Yes. Right now, Dawn, I can name 17 different wars just off the top of my head that America is involved in one way or the other all across the world. We are literally in World War III. No one's just talking about it because they want you to believe aborting your child is the number one issue. It's not. We have very real issues right now, and you being able to abort your child just simply isn't one of those top three issues. But we have some very real issues, and it's going to pivot one way or the other almost immediately once this election is over. So we need to get very real, very serious. We need to get the fear of God in us and start walking outside talking to our neighbors.
Amen. Preach it. Kathy Barnett, until next time, my friend, thank you so much.
Thank you, Don.
You're the best. You always make my day, made my Friday. Kathy Barnett, make sure that you're following, you're subscribing. Love her podcast. Great guests that she has. And she still tells me she's not going to, I keep saying, when are you going to run again? We got to get her to run again because she'll win. But we will have, by the way, remember, Alina Hava will join me at 11. Another strong woman. And she has been on the campaign trail here in Pennsylvania, across the nation with Trump. We had Vivek Ramaswamy. I should ask Kathy about this so much. Vivek Ramaswamy was in Westchester University. So that was just yesterday. A lot of excitement there. So much breaking. The great Dan Borowski, our executive producer, finding some great audio that I know you're going to love, love, love this. But let me just say these names for you. And the audio is with Senator J.D. Vance that Dan's going to play in just seconds away. But listen to these names in addition to Vance: Tulsi Gabbard, Vivek Ramaswamy, Congressman Byron Donalds, Wesley Hunt, Congresswoman Elise Stefanik, Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders, and y'all put in there Senator Marco Rubio, Alabama Senator Katie Britt. So this is the future of the Republican Party. And it's a diverse group. I mean, by ethnicity, by their, you know, by their gender, all of that. And they come from diverse backgrounds, many of them with backgrounds in military service. But the future for the Republican Party is looking fantastic. And try to name those, you know, think about all those names. Try to name that many names on the other side of the aisle. So they don't have the star power, in my humble opinion. Trump, really, if you think about his run for president, how he is elevating all of these different people who are superstars in the future. And so for me, I look at a very bright future as far as Trump winning on Tuesday, as well as Dave McCormick. I believe McCormick will eke this out. I think that one will be close. And I know that it's a horse race. Nobody is calling these. They're still too close to call. But I believe that there is momentum in our country right now that is for Trump. And these, you know, the McDonald's thing that happened here in the Bucks County area, and then that garbage truck maneuver, I thought it was brilliant, but I think it plays well with the public. And then you look at the other side with, first of all, Kamala Harris still not doing these long form interviews. Thank you, Joe Rogan. But just in general, you don't see Kamala Harris reacting, pivoting, the flexibility. You're not seeing that. And in fact, now, thanks to Joe Biden's garbage comment earlier in the week, and now Mark Cuban's comment, you see the Harris-Walz campaign. I know Tim Walz was in Pennsylvania yesterday, and Joe Biden will be here in Philadelphia today, by the way. But you don't see the reaction, that it's a strong reaction, and you don't see the ability for Harris to pivot away from this stuff. So I think the momentum is also on the side of Republicans. Dan, I know you want to get to this awesome
We're coming up on a break here, so I thought maybe we'd play a clip and then do a couple more after the break. Is that okay with
you? Cool.
Yeah? So first up, so J.D. Vance appeared on Joe Rogan yesterday, and I love these Rogan interviews because I think they do such a good job at speaking to a younger audience. Like yesterday,
3 hours.
3 hours, and I listened to a good chunk of it with Maisie last night, and I went back and I asked Maisie, what was the part that really sold you on J.D. as a human? Mm-hmm. It was actually near the beginning, and that's what we're going to get into, is him talking about his kids, but throughout the interview, there was, you know, drops in Joe Rogan's mic, and they leave everything in completely unedited. So you hear Joe, you know, arguing with his producer as to get this mic working. We have a vice presidential candidate here in the studio. I love it. It's so relatable. And in this kind of form, you get moments where JD can just show his side of relatability and humanity that the guy has. He's just such a normal, down-to-earth guy. So here he is telling the story, Dawn, about when he was picked as the vice president. Trump actually called him, made a joke. Take a listen.
And so I had no idea. I get the call around 1 o'clock at Milwaukee time at the RNC convention. I'm hanging out with my kid. Another one of my kids is in the other room asleep because, you know, our kids are young, so they nap still. And he makes this call, and he's like, hey, do you want to be my vice president? I was like, oh.
Was it literally just like that?
Well, actually, what happened?
Yeah, right? Could you imagine getting that call? Like,
it'd be awesome.
Right?
What happened is I get a text message from a staff member on his team that says he just missed a very important phone call. And I don't know, you know, because there's so much inbound traffic that I think it just went straight to voicemail. So I call him back and I'm like, hey, sir, what's going on? He said, JD, you just missed a very important phone call. I'm going to have to pick somebody else now. You know, so I'm about to shit a brick here. And then he says, no, I'm just kidding. Obviously, I want you to be my vice president. And the funny thing is, you know, my 7-year-old is in the background and he has no idea what's going on. And I love that, right? It's one of the good things about this. He has no clue what's going on. He's like, Dad, who are you talking to? He's talking about Pokemon cards, right? And Trump hears my son in the background and he says, well, who's that? And I said, that's my 7-year-old son, you. And he's like, put him on the phone. And I'm just anxious for him to get this statement out, because in my mind, it's not final until the statement is actually out. And he talks to my son and he reads the statement that he is going to put out on Truth Social announcing that I'm the VP nominee of the Republican Party. And he's like, what do you think about that, Ewan? And my son Ewan's like, oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. And then he gives the phone back to me. He's like, I have no idea what the hell's going on.
And it's funny. That means.
Yeah.
I just love it. And it really paints a different picture of Trump. Well, not a different picture of Trump to us, because, you know, if you follow Trump like Dawn does, like I do, we know him as the kind of guy that does say, hey, you know, pass the phone over to your 7-year-old. I want to run something by him real quick. Just such a, it's a fun story to tell. Yeah. And there's more after the break, Dawn, but your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I, as you know, I love Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders. And I, at first, I had a little pit in my stomach. I just was like, oh, Trump should have picked Sarah or Elise or somebody who's a little better known. And I did, although I love the book Hillbilly Elegy, I love his backstory.
Yeah.
I like him as a senator, but I didn't know him as well. And as I've gotten to know him, and especially there's a behind the scenes documentary, the only crew that's been traveling with Trump. And even when he was here in Philadelphia, the behind the scenes of everything. And you see J.D. Vance behind the scenes with Trump interacting. And I love that interaction. I love at one point after the debate here in that was a 3-1 debate. You see J.D. Vance coming up to Trump and he goes, that was bull. Essie, right? And I loved it. I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah, right?
But then he says, here's what they're going to do. And he immediately jumps in and says, but here's what they're going to do. Here's what they're going to blah, blah, blah. And oh, I loved that energy they had, but I loved that J.D. Vance is somebody who is just so grounded. Like, nothing rattles this guy. I think he is a terrific personality and energy to be right there with Trump. And somebody earlier on the YouTube chat, and I apologize, I forget who said that, like said, oh, I hope he's not a Pence. No, no, no. That's not what this is.
No.
And he's humble. He's youthful. And I think he's also...
Funny.
He's funny. But he's also a born-again Christian as well. And so I think he's got Jesus in there, and I think that's a good thing, too. I'm just going to say it. He's got that faith aspect.
He actually explains in there when he talks about faith. They really go into it. It's fascinating. They go into the whole transgender woke ideology and how it really reflects religion. And J.D. reveals that a couple years ago he became Catholic, was Christian for most of his life, and a couple years ago converted to Catholic, and actually makes an analogy to Catholicism. It's really good stuff that they really covered a lot in this fantastic interview with Rogan.
So we'll hear more than... and I put on the YouTube chat, like, give me your, if you have a specific question you would love Alina Haba to address, you know, make sure you type that out in our chat because we got our chat going on. But I hope that you consider coming away with me. Maybe we'll have a celebratory visit to paradise talking about the Italian Riviera on a gastronomical event that only Conservative Tours can deliver. Join me 11 luxurious days with the professionals from Conservative Tours. And trust me, they are the best tour operator in all of Italy. A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Portofino, Rapallo, Santa Margherita Ligure, Tuscany, and the brilliant Cinque Terre. $53.78. Yes, that includes your airfare, dining events at the wineries in Tuscany, even an authentic farm visit to see Parmesan cheese being crafted by hand. Call toll-free now, 888-733-9494, 888-733-9494, or you can just go to conservativetours.com. Scroll down, you'll see the itinerary pictures, hidden Italian villages you've never seen, like Giacomo Puccini, San Gimignano, the Leaning Tower of Pisa, Florence, Milan, and concluding on the Lakes region with Bellagio, Orta, and Isola Bella. Join me next spring in Italy. See you in Cinque Terre, conservativetours.com. Tell them Dawn sent you. If you are heading this to Philadelphia at all, there are already traffic closures that are happening. Aiken's Oval is shut down, for example, all around the Art Museum. And that is because the Harris campaign will be here at the Art Museum area on Monday on Election Eve. And so what it means for today, Aiken's Oval, and then day by day, after starting today, more closures so that by Monday, I think Kelly Drive, they're saying Kelly Drive, that doesn't make sense, but I imagine parts of Kelly and MLK might be affected by this. And so a lot of road closures, unfortunately, Monday. So just a heads up that, you know, make sure you have Waze on or you listen to our sister station, Traffic on the Twos, that sort of thing, because there's a lot going on traffic-wise. And then I haven't heard if, once again, the 9,000 AFSCME, largest union here, blue-collar workers here in Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia, I should say, they authorized that strike vote, and they are not happy, so they've been picketing around City Hall. So just a little traffic heads up for you. And then I don't have the itinerary for Biden. I know Biden will be in Philadelphia at some point earlier today. So a lot of traffic closures and traffic headaches. And that's not the only headache that I think many voters are dealing with. We want to get to Tim in Yardley, who can give us an update on what's going on. What's it like to be in line in Bucks County after the RNC had the victory and a judge did rule that you and Bucks, as long as you're in line by five today, you will get to vote. But I'm sorry, Tim, it sounds like a frustrating day.
Yeah, Dawn, thanks for taking my call. I guess the first thing to point out is, you know, do they have to keep those open till five? Well, it's 4:30 in Levittown if you're in line. So we have to be really careful in that language and whether they can cut the line. The other thing is, I got a call from somebody. They said there's 200 people in front of them. They've been in, it's got to be 45 minutes now. The line is moving extremely slowly.
And
it looks like there's two workers inside and a very long line.
See, and what I don't understand is that, and I hope Linda Kearns is listening, because so first and foremost, the reason it was extended, Tim, as you know, is because people were turned away or told that even though they got in line before 5 or 4:30, that was on Tuesday, that the judge ruled by law that people were in line, they were there, and it's not their fault that enough people weren't hired. And so, yeah, it brings up the question, are they just going to keep extending it? But my attitude is, why in the heck aren't they bringing people in with clipboards, handing things out while you're standing in line, the expediters that you would see? Think of Chick-fil-A.
I think they're slow walking it. But the issue goes on. The issue happened 10 days ago, right? Yep. I mean, I told you my daughter was in line, 3.5 hours turned away. Her girlfriend was 5 hours in line turned away. It's been going on the whole time. So I don't know what we can do except let you know, and hopefully Linda's listening and they can do something sort of process. And I have a public service announcement, if you don't mind. If you check the Bucks County Board of Elections website for the status of your mail ballot, okay, it'll tell you when they received it, when they processed it, when they mailed it. If you go on there and it has not been mailed yet, you can still vote today. You can go to the early voting center and say, hey, I didn't get my mail ballot. I'm not taking any chances. You basically cancel my mail ballot order, and I want to vote right now in person. People can still do that. So anybody out there who has not received their mail ballot yet, you can vote today. You just got to get in line before 4:30.
Yeah,
and people are doing that.
And to Peter M., thank you, Tim. Thank you for all that information. I really appreciate it. I will text Linda and others during the break real quick when we come up, because I want them to know this is going on. And this way, again, hopefully they work out all these wrinkles and let these various places that apparently a lot of them are run by, maybe they're run by Democrats, and maybe that's part of what I'm hearing, that this is on purpose, or you perceive that this is being done on purpose to either intimidate Republicans, which is having the opposite effect. But that's the claim that's going on here, and the belief that people feel that. I hope it's not true. I'm just reporting it the way you're reporting it. And your feelings matter. Isn't that what we always hear? Well, it's how you feel. So that's the reality. Isn't that what we always hear until it's us, our side, when we feel it? So we have to, you know, put this out there. So I'll make sure. Yeah, Peter saying the lawfare in PA by Democrats was bad in 2020. I would agree, but we can't get played. We cannot, no matter what we believe happened in 2020, I want it to have the opposite effect on anybody that feels like, oh, my vote does not matter. Yes, it does. And that's why it's really important that everybody speaks out right now to say, this is what I'm seeing. and even on election day. That's why it's important to vote earlier so that we call this stuff out and make sure that the lawyers get involved and boom, record it. Have tangible evidence. Because remember, here's part of this that they keep saying, well, Republicans or Trump, they're claiming all this stuff. But you see, if they had all the video, all the tangible evidence, then it would be hard to refute, right? So that's why we have to be smarter. And so it's important. Also, if you feel like you can't stand in line today, remember, just take your, if you already have the mail-in ballot, if you do have it, just go and take that. And you can still vote in person on November 5th, right? So you know that. Thank you. Thank you, Timothy. I appreciate it. All right, we've got more J.D. Vance. We've got, oh my gosh, we've got so much breaking I want to get to real quick around the break. But I got to talk about my friends at Piazza Premium Automobiles. And they really do feature the very latest in luxury vehicles from today's top brands. I'm talking about Mercedes-Benz, Jaguar, Land Rover, BMW, Porsche, Alfa Romeo, Maserati, and so much more. These models, as you probably know by now, have sleek new designs, innovative features powered by the very latest in technology. So they have thousands of new and certified pre-owned vehicles available right now across dealerships in Pennsylvania, Delaware, and New Jersey. Piazza Premium Automobiles stands out. Visit PiazzaPremiumAutos.com, P-I-A-Z-Z-A, PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. I'm texting Linda Kearns, so I'll ask those questions. She's the RNC attorney who has been very, one of them, who's been very successful with, you know, making it so that we have transparency and that, you know, we're trying to balance out some of the injustice that has happened, that is proved. Let's listen in. So, coming up, you are going to hear from the beautiful, brilliant Alina Haba. She is one of those women that I guess Mark Cuban thinks is the lesser and stupid. And because, you know, Cuban, we've talked about this, is getting ripped a new one. Here's Alina Haba, attorney.
I just got off a plane, so pardon my delay in responding to Mark Cuban's disgusting misogynistic remarks. Some reservos. Michael Cohen on three levels, just confirmed and denied by the Supreme Court of the United States. I'm licensed in four states. I graduated college in 3 years. Savage v. Trump. By the way, I could keep going, but those are the cases I win. And your left-wing media and your rhetoric and you're putting women down. See, President Trump doesn't do that. He surrounds himself with strong women like me. So Mark Cuban, you can go to hell. I'm voting for Trump because I want my daughter to never, ever be around people that speak like you do.
Amen, sister. So that's Alina. By the way, my friend Val Bianchinello, she just texted me talking about responding to some of what we've been saying and that some people are going to go to the polls on Tuesday dressed in a trash bag to say, yeah, I'm a garbage Trump voter. I love that, Val. Thank you for that. So she's saying there's no more silent majority. We've been awakened. And by the way, Val is another good example. She posted that video with Michael Whatley and just saying, hey, you know, we're getting the word out. And here's another strong woman supporting Trump in Val and saying, you know, I am out of the closet. I am speaking out. I am strong. I am woman, and I am voting Trump.
State committee woman and a delegate to the RNC. Here's Val. So what I do is I try and get the vote out. And I finally succeed in getting our voters to vote by mail in person. And unfortunately, they had to watch me get arrested for exercising my First Amendment right. Lots of voter suppression happening in Delaware County and throughout Pennsylvania. And it's unfortunate. You know, we should have free and fair elections. And this is why it's so important to elect Donald J. Trump as our next president.
Thank you, Val. Thank you, Laura Trump, Michael Whatley. Remember last time, Rana was, I think, having a spa day, maybe getting a facial, you know, so they're not doing that this time around. Alina Haba is just around the corner, so stay tuned. And on the YouTube chat, you can put out your questions if you have a specific question. So much ahead. Thanks for being here. It's Friday.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.